is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the wash of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Wonderful day today. The sun is shining, but of course, it's always shining when you're in God's will. Well, we have our series now continuing. We've been on it for many weeks, and I've really been blessed. I hope you have been, as we discuss the call, the chosen, the faithful. We're going to continue on that. First of all, though, you can write to us if you'd like to do that. And, of course, we need your love gifts to the ministry. We don't sell anything here at Bible Home Church, and so we just count on you. And many of you have been very, very faithful, and we appreciate your love gifts to Bible Home Church. If you'd like to make a comment to us, we'd like to hear from you as well. Now we're going to have a song. This is sort of a jazzy song. I don't know. I like the slow ones better. But, you know, when you talk about Southern gospel, sometimes these have great messages to them, too. And it's sort of fun, isn't it? And there's nothing wrong with having fun in Jesus Christ. Now, we're not into rock music and all these other forms, this rap music and all that other stuff. Friends, they can take that stuff, roll it into a big funeral shroud and throw it in the Nile River. But I believe this is going to be a nice tune you'll like. It's a little fast, but I think your soul will soar a little bit hearing this. I'm feeling fine. I think that's the name of it, and I'm feeling pretty fine myself today. So here are the Cathedrals singing I'm Feeling Fine, and right after that we'll be back with today's message.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul, 'cause I knew mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty, feeling mighty
God's chosen. Paul talked about God's chosen in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 1. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, verse 4, listen to this. Verse 4, chapter 1 of Ephesians. Oh, my, this will change your life. Listen, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." Verse 7, I really love that. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." By the way, that verse I just read you about, verse 7, that's been taken out of the NIV. They didn't want you to know about that. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Don't look for it in your NIV Bible. It's been taken out. But it's here. It's in the King James, and it'll stay there forever. Now listen, you understand what it says here? Paul says, "He hath chosen us." Now, a lot of Christians out there say, "I'm not one of God's chosen because I'm not of the physical race genealogically of the Jews." Okay. You have just consigned yourself to hell forever because you have to be God's chosen to go to heaven, to receive the riches of his grace, to be redeemed by his blood, for your sins to be forgiven. Do you have to understand? You have to be chosen. You're not one of God's chosen people? Okay, you just admitted it. But as for Tech Smarts, I'm going to tell you right now, praise the Lord, even though I didn't deserve it, he chose me. I'm one of his chosen. He had chosen us in him. I'm not chosen because I was Gentile or Jew. I was chosen in him. Why? According to the good pleasure of his will. He did what he wanted to do. I didn't deserve it. He didn't owe it to me. I owe everything to him. But it was his goodwill. He does what he wants. And you know what? I'm going to let him do whatever he wants. All I want to know is, Lord, what do you want to do next? What do you want me to do next? Listen, that's the key to happiness. Don't say, "Lord, how can I be happy?" Say, "Lord, what do you want me to do next?" And then you'll be happy. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Did you know he knew that you would come to know him and love him before you were ever born? In fact, before anybody was ever born. Before the foundation of the world. He could see the future. He could see you. He knew your heart. And he chose you. He loved you. And that's why you should be holy. And you are without blame because he has pardoned your sins in love. Well, he's predestinated you and adopted you. That's what it says here. You have been chosen. And you say, well, maybe Paul was writing to the Jews. Maybe he wasn't writing to Christians. Are you mistaken text? Oh, well, I didn't read you. Verse 1, it begins, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God." See, Paul didn't become an apostle because they chose him. Because he was so learned. He was so smart. He was so intelligent. In fact, I think they were afraid of him. They were frightened of him at first. He's the guy that was persecuting us. Now he's one of us? Boy. Paul was chosen an apostle by the will of God. He says, to the saints. Now, he's writing this letter. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, are you faithful? Remember I talked about the call, the chosen, the faithful? Do you believe in him? That's who Paul's writing to. To the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He hath chosen us in him, it goes on to say, before the foundation of the world. He's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about those who believe in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Was he a Jew? No, he's a Babylonian. Came from Ur of the Chaldees. Romans 8 says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Friend, talk about God's chosen. They're predestinated, they're called, they're justified, they're glorified. Wow. You're already situated in heavenly places. So why do you sometimes act, my friends, like you're a denizen of hell? You don't want to do that. Now the old devil will say to you, you're not one of God's chosen. Look at you. Yeah, you were saved. But then, you know, you're not perfect. Hey, you're not even Jewish, really. You're a Gentile. Romans 8, verses 28 through 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Friends, the devil can't make a pointing accusation at you, railing accusations at you. Tell him, get lost. Don't even waste your time. I don't spend time talking with devils. The Lord rebuked them. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody. God. If you have sin in your life, my friends, you better get right with God. Don't worry about what the devil's going to do accusing you. You got to worry about what God says about you. And if you are saved in Christ Jesus, he's thrown all those sins out. Blotted them out. He justifies you. Accepts you anyway. Probably shouldn't. You're not worth it. I'm not either. Praise God, though, I'm one of God's chosen. Now, there are some people who say, no, I don't believe that text. I still believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. And it doesn't matter whether they hate or love Jesus. It doesn't matter whether they accept Jesus. They're the seed of Abraham. And that doesn't have anything to do with Christianity being the seed of Abraham and being the heirs of Abraham and having the promise. That's nothing to do with Christianity. You're all mixed up, Tex. You know, chapter 3 of Galatians is so powerful. If anybody asks you, who really are Abraham's seed? Who really has the promise? Who are God's chosen people? All you have to do is go to Galatians chapter 3. Oh, nobody wants to preach from this because it's true. You're not going to hear a preacher. Oh, he'll preach little parts of Galatians 3, but he just takes it on some little tangent somewhere. But you got to read it for yourself. Now, I'm going to give you some key verses, but to make sure that I'm not taken out of context, I beg you, I beseech you, I plead with you, go and read all of the chapter for yourself because it starts off powerful and it ends, it'll curl your ears as well as the hair on your head. Well, it starts off, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? How would you like an apostle of God to look you in the eye and say, you foolish person, who has bewitched you that you would not obey the truth? Man, that's scorching. I think I'd just melt. I'd just sink. You don't want to be in this boat. He's saying this is what your belief is the same as witchcraft. That's devilish. You don't believe the truth. You're not obeying the truth. Verse 3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You see, the Galatians were told by the Jews among them that they needed to be like the Jews. They needed to eat according to the Jewish regimen. They needed to become virtually Jews, or they couldn't be Christians. And Paul said, having begun in the Spirit, because you got to be born again in spirit and in truth, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Ooh, remember, we've already discussed the fact the Bible says that flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, black or white, male or female. And then Paul goes on to remind them. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Oh my goodness. Do you mean that Gentiles are also the children of Abraham if they have faith? Do you mean that an Arab can be a child of Abraham? Yes. Do you mean that a black woman from Ethiopia or Somalia can be a child of Abraham? Uh-huh. That's right. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now the preachers say, Abraham, through you, all, you know, the nation of Israel, that nation down there in the Middle East, that nation's going to be blessed forever, will be God's chosen people forever and ever. They have the land, they're promised the land forever. They have the blessings of God, and whoever blesses them will be blessed, and whoever curses them will be cursed. Oh, yes. Only the Jewish people, the people of that race, who have that racial heritage and genealogy, only they. Friends, I didn't read any of that to you in the Bible. I just spoke it to you out of my mouth. Because that's what these false teachers have done. They have created this out of thin air, out of their mouths. They have spoken lies to you. Because it says right here in Galatians 3 that all people who believe in Jesus Christ and have faith are of Abraham. And listen, that's not all. Because in thee, God told Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, friends, the Great Commission, we know Jesus Christ is seeking people of every nation on earth. He says, go ye therefore into all nations and preach to them. Tell them of the gospel. Why do we waste our time if they're not going to be God's chosen? Well, they are. There are many who are called and chosen. And you go out and find them, my friends. Jesus told you to do that. Don't hesitate. Don't say, but they're not of my race. What do you mean? Maybe they're not. Who cares? Because you had to be born again in spirit and in truth. And they must be born again to enter into the kingdom. And I don't care what race they are or were. Verse 9 repeats it again. I love redundancy in the Bible, don't you? It says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Does it say their race? It doesn't, does it? It just says, so then they which be of faith, anyone, any race, any outward appearance. Puerto Ricans, they can be. Jamaicans, yes sir. Cuban, absolutely. Colombian, yes. Hawaiian, uh-huh. Praise God. Verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of law are under the curse. My friends, you want to stay with Talmudism and the Judaic religion? Well, you go ahead. The Jews say, I believe in the Talmud. I believe in the law of Judaism. It says here, you're under the curse. You're under the curse. Listen to me, Jewish man or woman. You're not God's chosen people at all. Unless you accept Jesus and then you become, you are born. You're grafted back in. Right now, you're cut off. You're in big, big, bad trouble. Yes, listen to me. You don't have the promise of Abraham. You're not one of the heirs of Abraham. You're not the seed of Abraham. Spiritually, you're dead. You're a walking dead man or woman. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 11. Wow. 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us verse 14 says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, my goodness. The promise. The promise. Oh, only the Jews receive the promise. My friends, the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. How much more clear could it be? And listen to verse 16. This is the verse. This, if you don't remember anything I've said in this three-part series, if you've heard me at all, not at all, if you just tuned in and you say, what is text talking about? Let me tell you. I'm talking about who are God's chosen people. I'm talking about the seed of Abraham. I'm talking about the heirs of Abraham. I'm talking about to whom were the promises made from the book of Genesis. Yes, the book of Genesis. That's what I'm talking about. Now listen to this. This is going to be fantastic. Verse 16, chapter 3 of Galatians. Listen to me. Listen to me now. If you have been taught the lie of the identity teachers, those who are saying it's the Anglo-Saxon race and only they are the chosen people of God, I want you to hear me out. If you've been taught that only the Jewish people from the genealogy, you know, that come down, that have the names Goldstein and Goldberg and all that, or whatever their names are, Stein and so forth, listen to me very carefully. If you've been taught that race has meaning, if you've been taught that the flesh has importance, if you've been taught that your ethnic group or your national origin or something means something to God of eternal importance, if you've been taught that the seed of Abraham are those who are physically, racially, DNA Jews, hear me out and listen to what God said. Oh, I love this verse. I love this verse. It is so wonderful. Verse 16. Paul says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Would you agree with me on that, friends? You may not like anything I've said, but would you agree that it was to Abraham and his seed that the promises were made? The promise, you'll have this land forever. All the land that you can see. The promises of eternal life, of the everlasting covenant. The promises that whoever blesses you, God will bless, and whoever curses you, God will curse. All those promises made by God to Abraham and his seed. Is it not true that to Abraham and his seed were the promises made? Yes, that's true. And here comes the next sentence. He, that is God, saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Oh, who is the seed of Abraham? It's not as of the many. Oh, many are called out of the nations. Few are chosen, but, you know, they're called out of the various nations. Because Abraham, remember we just read to you before, is the father of many nations. Not just a nation of, a physical nation of Israel, there with Jerusalem as its capital city on earth, but of many nations. He's the father of many nations. And everyone who is of faith is of Abraham. I read you that. And now we're seeing something more amazing. Something so spectacular, it boggles the mind. Because Abraham and his seed, they're the ones who had the promises made to them by God. But now we're going to have a definition of seed. Who is the seed of Abraham? Did you know? It's not seeds as of many. It's not all the Jews that ever lived. It's not all the Jews that live today. Seeds means one. One. O-N-E. One. One. And you know who that one is? Christ. And whoever is in Christ Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Oh my, that changes everything. If Abraham and his seed, if they have the promises, if they're the heirs of the promise, if that was who God was talking to and for, and if that was the everlasting covenant given to them and the promises way back in Genesis, that all these other preachers, now these false teachers, they tell you about that, don't they? They say, God gave the promise to Abraham and his seed forever. I agree to that. I agree to that. Now we're finding out who the seed is. The seed is not as of many, but as of one. and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now let's explain the seed. You know, Jesus talked about the seed. You can read about that in Mark chapter 4. Oh my. He gave the parable of the seed. And you know, his disciples, they were confused too. They went back to him and they said, in private, they said, Lord, we don't understand. Would you please tell us, explain the parable of the seed? You know what Jesus said to them? He said, it is given unto you to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. But it's not given to those outside. In other words, only to those who are believers in Christ Jesus, only they can understand the parable of the seed. Those outside of the fold of Christ cannot understand. And Jesus said this, he said, because if they did understand the parable of seed, their sins would be forgiven them. They would be converted and they'd be saved. That's how powerful it is to understand the seed doctrine of Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, this is the very crux of your Christian faith. This is everything. I'm putting it all on the line to you. I leave nothing out. I'm telling you, if you don't understand this parable, if you don't understand the seed doctrine, you are not a Christian. I don't care what your PhD or DD or THD, I don't care about that junk. I don't care what your racial heritage. I don't care how rich or poor you are. You must understand this principle, this spiritual principle, or you're headed straight for hell. And I wonder about these prophecy teachers that don't understand this. What is the seed? The seed is Jesus Christ. His disciples ask him, explain, Lord, to us. Explain what do you mean by the seed?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.